What's going on, In Focus, Out of Touch listeners? Back for another episode this year. I think third one of the year. Thanks for joining us. Nick and I chat a lot about making YouTube videos, particularly working for exposure when you're new to the industry. Why should you do it? Why shouldn't you? We also chat a bit about a shoot Nick directed and I shot.
Hello.
Hey, third episode of the year.
This is loving exciting. It. We're breaking records.
Thanks for joining us again for another ear bashing, as I call these podcasts. Ear bashing and lashings.
About gear bashing.
Gear bashing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mate, it's good to see you two times in 1 week.
Mate, I'm seeing you almost too regularly.
It's almost now. Too much.
Exactly.
Why is that?
We had a shoot together yesterday.
That's right, just yesterday.
For the first time in a while, actually.
Yeah.
We're trying to remember the last shoot we actually did together, because last year we had a few where I shot for you, you couldn't shoot,
but
we
like didn't work alongside one another.
Yeah.
You either work for one another.
Yeah.
But it was good.
You
had great direction. Being the director.
Very kind of you to say. Yeah, so it was just a pretty standard kind of video. I think they're putting together a bit of a case study / testimonial thing for the client. This is through a production company. And so they actually kind of had a crew rather than just a solo, you know, shooter editor.
Yeah,
so
we had a producer, which I haven't had in, I can't even remember the last time I had a producer.
Really?
Oh, actually, probably 2.5 years
now. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's great because it's so funny because I had a shoot last week with this production company as well, and something went wrong on the shoot with people going home before they got in front of cameras. They weren't supposed to, but no one told us about like their shift times and things like that. So I was like, you know, you go straight into troubleshooting mode if you're on your own or if it's your kind of own client. And I was like, okay, how am I going to get around this? And then someone said, just ring the producer. I was like, someone else can deal with that problem.
Yeah. That's something I completely forgot too. I think I was talking to you about this shoot last week and I was just like, what about parking? Like, just ring the producer. This is like literally the answer to everything. Just ring the producer. I wouldn't say, for lack of a better word, like archaic structure in like what we do now.
Oh, it's definitely traditional, isn't it?
It's the normal. It should be normal.
Is that, I mean, again, like in this day and age, should it be like that?
Probably not. Like seeing like all videos now becoming so cheap to make,
right?
For businesses. People don't have the money to hire five people for a shoot when one person can do it.
Thankfully, they did yesterday. Well, it was just you and I, but you're right. We had a producer, and that was good fun. You shot well.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. You directed well. You told me what to do well.
You created images of great report.
Yeah, there was that one shot, our third interview, man. Loved how that looked and everything.
That was great.
It's just like how the windows shaped the light.
It's great.
And then it had my key light on her face, like
lovely soft kind of backlight coming through thanks to some really nice blinds that you could still see through.
It was a fluke. I didn't plan that at all.
Yeah, because you can buy this stuff. I forget what it's called, but it's like from Roscoe or something like that. You can buy this actual sheeting. It's not ND gel where it's the similar kind of thing. It's like this
it's like
fabric,
a film,
but you can see through it. But it reduces it by a couple of stops, so you can dress it over a window. I think it's cheaper than ND gel and the camera doesn't even see it.
Oh, right.
So that kind of reminded me of that style. Like you have these blinds that you can still see through when you roll them down. They're kind of like half see through. Yeah, it was great, man.
Yeah, it was a nice shot. Like you could see cars going past in the main cam and it was just good ND like in itself that stopped down the outside.
I think it's interesting that we just love some good dynamic range, you know? So when you get a shot, it's like, you know, you, in usual circumstances, just a stock standard interview, that would be blown out and just completely white. So like, where do we see like, I can make out some detail in the background here. Wait a minute. But no, it was a good shoot. And I got to say, yeah, like I sometimes when they provide scripts or like, you know, some person in the company gives some questions to people, they don't read them. They see them last minute. And yeah, this lady unfortunately was really just like put forward by her company, and she's like, "I have no idea. I'm not the person who did this."
Yeah, like fair enough. Like
she did great.
She did exceptionally well, but you can understand their pain. Like, all right, tag, you're it. You're the one person in the office going to represent us.
Oh, look, hats off to her though, because she came in smiling her face, and she didn't take it too seriously.
People get so. I don't know, embarrassed or just like, yeah, I'm so sorry, I'm wasting your time. Like, you just want to say, no, like, you're doing fine. This is our job. Like, no one's professional. Like, not many people are professional at talking in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I always find that funny how people react. And like, I never get over it because it's always new people.
And do you
always have the same reaction?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you find you have like these reactions or phrases in your pocket? So when people are like, "Oh, make sure is that the good? Make sure you got a heavy filter on so I can look good," you know?
Because make sure you Photoshop out my pimples.
Like, oh, sorry guys, and make sure you got enough tape in the camera.
Do
you
have all like the time? Same I've a few in my pocket. One is, and this is generally if the person's over 35, they might get it. Like, let's chuck some Vaseline on the lens.
Oh, nice, nice.
If they're like,
I don't know if that's an insult or
it's
halfway in between. Maybe.
Yeah, halfway. But it's usually if they say like, if they're really self deprecating.
Yeah.
Like I usually stacks on. I usually don't. I'm not the person to just like compliment them. Like, oh no, you look fine. I'll say, oh yeah, I'll just chuck some Vaseline on
the lens. Nice.
Maybe I'm a douche, but
hey, you do what you do to make them comfortable, right? And relax a bit. And
yeah.
You know, yeah, maybe you are a douche, but they relax. You get the job done.
Yeah, I get it done.
Yeah.
So that was a good shoot.
That was good fun. Good fun working with you, mate. We've got to do more of that.
Yeah, we have to do more. So if you're a production company listening,
please hire us.
Please hire us. Nick's a good director, and I'm a subpar cinematographer.
No, I will vouch for your imagery.
Great.
Sean can, if there's blinds in the office, you'll see the street as well. It's so,
yeah, I know. That's,
you know, he's good.
It's one of my defining qualities. You'll see the street in every one of my shots.
In focus, like accidentally.
Just,
it's not,
even when it's meant to be in focus, yeah, but exactly. it's just that shot of car going past.
Sean doesn't move his lenses past infinity.
No.
That's just his style. That's your niche.
I got them all discounted on Gumtree. They're all $100 each.
They're
jogging filmmaker.
Cut out from cardboard.
I eat 2 minute noodles for dinner. So how are
they? They're Kinon lenses.
Please help.
Anyway.
Yes. So, anyway, mate, I know you've been wanting to get stuck into YouTube a little bit more, making a few videos, and so do I. So I had a few ideas for YouTube videos that I wanted to essentially hash out on the podcast here, and get some ideas before I actually shoot them.
Yeah.
And
so before we go into, man, like, what, why are you interested in getting back into or getting into like a YouTube channel, just making content for it?
Because I just love it. I want to do more of the stuff I love to do.
Nice.
And I think it's also wanting to just carve out my piece of the internet as well. So, I feel I have like knowledge that's valuable to share, and yeah, you know, like it's a mixture between narcissism, fun. And, it's a bit of fun, but at the end of the day, if I can grow a online social presence that makes me a bit of coin, awesome too.
Yeah.
So who just knows, get slowly some, working towards that.
Get some sponsors, because we are sorely lacking.
Sponsor 2019.
For this podcast.
By the way, this podcast is brought to you by Netflix.
No free stuff.
No, it's not bought by Netflix. I was just looking at my remote.
It's brought to you by couch.
Chair.
Enter code couch off to sit
brought
on the couch.
Brought to you by door handle.
That bloody door handle.
Sponsor. All right. Great sale. And yeah, so I'd wanting to get into my YouTube ideas.
Yeah, very cool.
So one of them...
I can steal them for my YouTubes?
Yes.
Great.
See which video gets the most views.
Continue.
It's the YouTube Hunger Games.
Yeah. There should be a YouTube Hunger Games. It make you actually make videos pretty quickly, I reckon.
Yeah. So yeah, one of them was, what do you do if you have a camera but no work?
Man, that is an existential crisis right there.
A bit real for some of us.
You mean... Nick's life?
Yeah. This is actually an intervention.
Yeah, yeah. I love the idea of that video because there's no right answer, I think.
I'd
be really interested to hear a lot
of
people's thoughts.
It is a pretty open question. Mm. You know, it could mean you've just finished uni or you're starting uni. You've got a DSLR, you've got an old Canon 5D Mark II. Great camera. Which you can make a lot of money with if you know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And if you're not making money with it, what can you do with it? And I know I was... So my idea behind this YouTube video was more focused towards the starting filmmaker who wants to start making commercial work but doesn't know how to get recognized.
Yeah.
And I know one thing that I did was I just tried to... Essentially, yeah, just make as much as I can. So I made a few small skits that I chucked up online. And, you know, some of them were just so stupid. But I got some acting friends to work for free.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, if you can get that. And I probably built my portfolio up of maybe 5 to 10 videos. And that acted as a portfolio to get a job at a production company.
Oh, cool.
So, I guess what I'd bounce off you now. So, that was probably 5-6 years ago now.
Yeah.
So, what do you feel... Do you feel there should be one type of video that someone should be making to build up their portfolio? Or is it pretty open-ended?
That's a good question. If they're starting out. I think if... When you're just starting out, I don't think you really... I mean, everyone might have this lofty dream of, I want to be a feature film director. But ultimately, when it comes to actually the work and the stuff that gets you money, I don't know if many people would know fresh out the gate what they want to do. Some people might, you know, not think about it and then go and make a music video and think like, shit, I love that. I'm addicted to that. That's all I want to do now. You know, so I think it is important. I didn't do this, but like in retrospect, I wish I'd had like more of a niche and really focused on a specific type of content, be that commercial, music video, narrative. I reckon you've just, like you said, you've just got to really just start making stuff. And I think you've got to find out, like you've got to become fresh out the gate, or even if like you're experienced but you want, just like in my position where I want to start heading in a new direction now, you kind of do have to start from scratch. So
yeah,
you kind of have to make content in that vein or in that kind of style that you want to push towards. So but you've got to, I think you've got to become a really good storyteller. So you've got to make videos and understand how to do that in whatever format you want to end up in whichever medium, but you've also then got to know your tools. So so if you have no money, or if you just buy a 550D and it's an older, you know, 5-year-old DSLR or whatever, like, what, fine, work out how to get the best image from that and work out, you know, really understand that camera, because then you'll start to really understand like that technical side of filmmaking, which even if you don't want to be a cinematographer eventually, you still need to know that now as you're making stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you just make stuff in that vein.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like, I think, yeah, I think it is important to master a niche, which is something that I haven't done. And is coming back to bite me in the ass when a lot of my work, you know, it's I'm not finding it 100% fulfilling
all
the time. And, you know, like, could my career look very different if I just stuck to one type of content 5 years ago now? Like, yeah, it but at the same time, it could also mean that I'm not a full-time filmmaker anymore. So, yeah. I don't. It's a tricky juggle. I think it is important just to create. If you've got a camera but have no work, just make stuff.
There's a filmmaker. I'm forgetting who it is now, but he says basically, one for you and one for them. So if you have to make your money doing corporate stuff, which I do, make a video for a client, get paid for it. I mean, care about it, but, you know, don't care about it. Just do the work you need to do to get paid. Don't stress too much about it. And then go, okay, now I have the rest of the week paid, so now I can make something for me. Doesn't matter whether it's a YouTube channel or if you want to go and, like, make an impromptu music video, whatever. I think I really like... I've never done that. I love the idea of that. That's
a great concept.
I love the idea of it because, like, it forces you to obviously be mindful of, like... Or maybe not even mindful, it just forces you to create something for yourself, given the freedom that you do need to earn a paycheck. You do need to earn the bread. So you have to often do things that aren't in your ideal line of work or aren't, you know, in the images that you think like, yeah, that's going to win me an Oscar.
I love that concept, but something I'm only really grasping now in life is that not everyone is as self-motivated as you or I. Like, people don't have that... Like, a lot of people don't have that self-drive that comes from within, I feel.
Yeah, so you've... But I think some of that can come from years of going around the same roundabout, merry-go-round, you know. That's where I'm at now. Like, mate, I feel I'm motivated. I'm not always practical, though, because I'm 35 this year. So mid-30s, officially.
Yeah,
and yet I feel it's only like the last 12 months, like seriously, and I've been making videos for, you know, a good number of years now, that I've really had clarification and I've really understood, like, okay, this is the direction I want to head in. This is what I want to do from a personal perspective. I thought I had an idea, you know, 5 years ago, 7 years ago when I first started out making videos, but then you lose the steam for it and then you end up just working for the paycheck.
Because I look at you and I think you're very, very, very self-motivated and very good at coming up with ideas that you want to execute on. I guess in the last 12 months, is there something, is it like what impetus like finally switched in you that you realize that you wanted to go like a certain direction? Is there anything?
Yeah, I had a baby. That sort of
broke the camel's back.
I had a son. I thought two things. This is going to get super cheesy, but the first is I was like, man, in a few years' time, I would love him to go like, come and visit dad on a film set.
Yeah.
How fucking awesome would that be?
That'd be great.
And him growing up like Jason Reitman in America, whose father is Ivan Reitman, who directed Ghostbusters. Like, he grew up on major Hollywood film sets. Like, how cool would that be? So I was like, wake up, Nick, and actually get shit done. And the second thing was, actually, now I have a child, I have zero time. I thought I had time before.
Yeah.
I thought I had time before, but suddenly, mate, like, in a year, you can, if I have 10 minutes, I can get an hour's worth work done. So now with client work, I thought I was quick before, but I can fucking smash through an edit in no time. I can like juggle all these things in my brain, which is exhausting, but you just I think people get a better skill at that if they didn't maybe have that before.
You know what they say, like, if you want anything done, just ask the busy guy to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It sounds like you have such a laser focus.
That's a good point.
Because I waste so much time.
But you don't realize. No, see, I think you are also like motivated and practical, and I see like you're actioning towards it.
Yeah.
Like you were doing your motion graphics, your animation, stop motion animation video. You've taken the extra step to go, you know what, I'm going to document this.
But I think I still think that's very what's the word, outwards motivated or externally motivated, because a client has come to me and say like, hey, can you do this? And I've said, yep.
Yeah, but
and I figured it out, but it's not something I've just gone like, hey, I'm going to do that.
But does it matter how you get your motivation then? Or how you use
No, it definitely doesn't. But I feel a lot of the time for me, it's just so hard to be internally motivated to begin things. I'm good at carrying through things, but it's just like, just to switch that lever and just start. I find it so hard.
Dude, it's tough sometimes because it is exhausting. Like, so one thing I'm definitely doing, I'm not talking about it, I'm actually doing, I'm writing a script for my first short film in years, like that I would have filmed in 2 years, getting it done, right? So I know that's going to happen. But I know, thinking ahead of time, like how painful making a film can be when you're on your own or with just a couple of friends, because you've got to organize everything. And when things go wrong, it's on you. And like, that is exhausting. So I can feel my brain. There's some resistance in there. Because I remember the last short I did, and it was like pretty tough. So I'm like, oh, do I want to, you know, the brain, the subconscious is back there going like, Nick, do you really want that pain again? Just kick back, man. Just kick back.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know. I think it's because I'm definitely realizing, like, I thought I had time before, I definitely don't. So that's just motivated me. It's still an external thing.
You're motivated
thing.
By necessity.
Yeah, it's like it's still an external thing, man.
Yeah.
So I keep going.
That's true. That's very true. That's a good point. So I guess the overarching theme is just be motivated by something.
Yeah.
And try to find that thing, actually.
And I think it's a good point, because like, aren't we the most creative when we have some challenges?
Yeah. Yeah. No, what does that say? Innovation is the child of necessity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Elon Musk, he drills holes underground because, yeah, you know, in LA, it's too busy. Like, you can't build... It's going to be insane to build roads above ground and highways. Like, just drill a hole.
Yeah.
And now what he's come up with recently, I don't know if you've seen any of those cool videos, cars.
Oh, absolutely. On the driving underneath. And stuff. It's just amazing.
No, he's just created this amazing new technology. Like, yeah, like tunnels aren't new, but what he's created is these cars can travel so fast underground that, you know, like eventually one day, hopefully you can travel from one side of the country to the other using this. Like,
no time at all. Yeah.
And, so, you know, like when we're stuck in a corner, we think of some good shit.
Yeah.
At least I do anyway.
And I think that's the thing. You got to find something that's going to put a bit of pressure on you. And so I think, like, going back to your question of like, how, so if you've got nothing, what videos do you start doing? I think you've got to try and involve other people, you know, because they're going to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
You know, if you start talking to, like I'm wanting to, DP a little small documentary about a boxer. If it was just me, like, right, directing and doing the cinematography as well, to be really honest, I'd probably go like, I definitely want to do it, but again, maybe when there's free time. But there's a guy who actually brought the project and the person to me and was like, oh, I'd love you to DP it. So there's someone else to be held accountable to as well. I find like that's probably an important thing.
But yeah, I think like when you have other people really invested in the project too, that releases some of the burden off your shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're up to this boxer, hey, can I make a doco on you for my portfolio? And they might be a bit hesitant, like, oh yeah. But if they come to you and they're like, hey, can you make this? And it's already something you wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, you're just working for free type of thing.
So have you ever in the past, how did you find those people? Like, obviously some people come to you or it's like who you know kind of thing, but what do you have any other way in the past? Have you had any ways that you've gotten, maybe, I don't know, maybe for people who weren't like already thinking about this, but you've gone to them and said like, hey, I think this would be good, I'd like to do that. Have you done that in the past?
Yeah, like working for free or for exposure or for fun.
Yeah, I guess it checks all those boxes, or like more so you get that.
Yeah, I think whenever I have worked for free, it's either been because they're a good mate of mine and I want to do them a favor, or it's something that I can benefit off in a certain way, and I probably wouldn't have gotten money from it anyway. But if it's something that is potentially taking money out of someone else's pockets that could use it, or if a real estate agent came to you, hey, can you do this real estate video for free for me? Like, and like, I'd be a bit skeptical, but if you know, I was really interested in getting into real estate videography, I had zero experience, and this agent had $1 million property, like, hey, do you want to come make a video? So like, I heard you're wanting to get into this.
Yeah.
And check it out. Like, if it's already something you're interested in, can benefit you if you're expanding your portfolio, then I think it's perfectly okay to work for free.
Yeah.
There's that stigma of working for exposure.
And you know what, as well, I've just thought, like, if you do end up doing that, it doesn't matter whether it's for something that could technically be commercial, like something a client would usually pay for, or if it's something a little bit more artistic or documentary focused, you kind of, I think when you're starting out, you get to really create your voice as you're doing it as well, because like, I've just, like you mentioned real estate, I saw this wicked real estate content of this agent who's just this really charismatic person and young, so that always works.
I think I know who this is,
but like, the videos, I was like, brilliant. Like, it has a little bit of humor in it, but the production it must be just created by one person, but its production value, it's like awesome. And like, that person now has a voice in real estate videos, which if someone asked me to do a real estate video, I'd probably go, yeah, give me the money and go and do a tour of a house, you know? I want to do different things, but because I don't have that interest in real estate, it wouldn't force me to be.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think those videos rely off the back of how charismatic that person is.
That's true.
Really,
Italian guy?
Oh, actually, no.
Okay.
It's an Aussie guy, actually.
Ah, okay. I'll show you.
But I think a lot of it relies on your talent for the really special.
That's true.
Videos.
That's true.
Because mate, I have done a lot of videos, and a lot of it relies on who you're filming. And like, the videos I'm thinking of, like, they're super, really basic shot. Everything's on a gimbal. Like nice composition stuff, but nothing's too complicated.
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking, I'm laughing because this reminds me, I can't even remember the actual video, but I remember doing like this really, you know how like a lot of, all these businesses want like really emotive stuff now, like bum, 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 bum,
yeah.
Like, and it's building up and up and up and up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it cuts to like this guy in the company goes, hi, my name's Tony. And it was, it's so funny. Like, you're spot on it.
It's an actual video?
Like it was all scripted and, teleprompted, so you know, that never works well unless people are actors and used to it. I remember it was just like this really emotive thing, like a sunrise stuff, you know, building into the narrative, the script, and I just remember this person was so, it just didn't seem natural on
stitch up.
They wanted it to be like, but just fit as part of like a really cool video, really dramatic.
I'm turning just a business promo.
And it was just like,
it's got five bedrooms.
He just didn't have energy, and I couldn't coach him to go. You know what? You're at whatever your energy level is. Just double it. You know, let's just do that.
You know what? Like, just quadruple it.
Yeah. So, and of course, they didn't want like an actor or anyone, who could do it much better to kind of fill in, but.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, you got a really, just a really dead client, like delivering dead lines to you. You just have to change up the video, man.
I agree.
If they're just like, hey, I'm Tony, here's the property.
I'll try and find
it. Maybe just put some nice classical music to it.
Yeah.
This
is years ago I did this. I'll try and find it for you because it's hilarious. Anyway, back to your point. Sorry, man.
Yeah, a lot of it revolves around your talent. Doesn't matter how good of a video producer you are. If you have a if you shit on camera, I'm sorry, the video's probably not going to be that great.
Yeah.
So maybe like just a straight up walkthrough might be better for your brand.
Yeah, that's true.
Just have a still frame of yourself at the end.
So like back to like what do you do? Like thinking about your YouTube video that you're going to make. Like, is there anything else you can think of that you'd do differently if you had that time again, or if you, again, like heading down a new direction now?
Yeah, it's tricky because I made dumb little short, stupid comedy clips that I really enjoyed, and the purpose of those was to just show off my cinematography, not really the story, but it just showed that I was invested in this craft. So if an employer saw it, like, oh yeah, for the past, like, he hasn't been in the industry for the past 6 months, but he's made consistent videos, so he's obviously dedicated to this craft.
Yeah.
And I think like a lot of employers, all they want to see, like, yeah, fair enough, your entry level when you're very new, but they want to see that you're serious about this job if they hire you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anything else to my point? Probably not. Just make stuff.
So let me ask you this then, mate. Since you kind of got your foot in the door with a production company making that content, why did you stop?
Because they hired me, and I feel like now I'm faced by this. Like, because you're making videos to order every week, you just lose that energy to make stuff like for yourself that you once had.
Yeah.
I know. Like at the start of this year, it's pretty light on work, I'll be honest, and I think that's why I'm wanting to start more YouTube videos.
Yeah.
It's because I have the time and I'm starting to get the ideas. But if I was being hammered 7 days a week, 24/7 with shoots and edits, I don't think I'd be talking about this right now.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have the time to create stuff for myself.
Do you reckon you'll get into a habit now where if you start creating this content, when you do get super busy again, do you think you're going to form that habit and be able to carve enough time for
yourself? I know how habits work, and like take this podcast for example. We've sort of got into a habit. Like it's ingrained into my head. Like once a week, doesn't matter when, just once a week.
Yeah.
And we've been pretty good at doing face to face video podcasts this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, like if we need to Skype it 1 week, that's totally fine. But yeah, my goal is to build this habit, to keep doing it, to keep making YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And hopefully I do. Don't know yet. We'll see what happens.
Well, look, I've got pretty similar goals. So maybe again, just in terms of the accountability side of things, especially when you're making stuff for your own channel, that's stuff I've tripped over in the past. So man, it'll be good to just keep talking about what we're working on, so we keep working on it, you know.
Yeah, and keep us accountable.
Yeah,
it's like losing weight.
We can tell our fellow iFotters out there about how there's another week that went by and we didn't make a video.
Yeah,
I'm just back off. All right.
Yeah, get off my back. I'm busy.
I'll do it in my own time.
Well, mate, we might end it there.
Yeah, keep it short and sweet.
Yeah, keep like one thing. I don't know if you have any recommendations for this week, but I have one.
Oh, and something to watch. Yeah, we haven't thought about that for a while. Yeah, go for it.
Well, mate, I just watched the Fyre Festival documentary on Netflix.
Everyone's talking about this. I was about to stream it this morning.
Definitely watch it as soon as possible.
Okay.
Great doco.
Yeah.
It's made by the marketing team, Jerry Media, fuck Jerry, that Fyre Festival hired to market festival. And funnily enough, I've been following the YouTuber that owns Fuck Jerry for a couple years now. Like, and I remember watching him vlog the failure of Fyre Festival as it was happening. He was on the island.
Really?
He was just like, what the fuck is going on? We've been marketing this thing for 6 months and they finally get there. Like, and you just,
wow.
It's a great documentary.
Wicked. All right. I'm checking that out tonight.
And apparently there's another one on Hulu that I haven't seen yet, but okay. I'm intrigued about.
Yeah.
But go watch Fyre on Netflix.
All right,
that's my recommendation.
I can't say I've got a recommendation recently. I've just been watching a ton of true crime stuff.
Yes.
Which is, yes. I can't even remember the names of stuff. Just murder.
That's all good. Watch the murder stuff.
Yeah.
Watch some Dexter.
Well, thanks for joining me for another episode. And thank you, iFotters. If you would be so kind, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. Please, please, please. Will help us keep creating these. And yeah, mate, that was a good chat.
Good chat. And thanks to our sponsor this week, Netflix. Couch. Enter code...
Couch and Door Handle.
Couch and Door Handle on Netflix.
Yeah. It's the documentary that no one's talking about.
Yeah. You really have to scroll to the bottom of of your feed there to get it.
It expires in 38 seconds.
But yeah, that's all from us. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.